Longlin. The nerves are jangling. Kwame just walking back to the baseline. He needs to shut all of those things out. The good and the bad. The audible tension in the air is not going to help him. This is a bit better from the crowd. They're just trying to rouse him a little bit. Because the French tennis legend, now retired, Richard Gasquet, is among those in the box for Kwame, cheering him on. So he's got plenty of experience to draw on in preparing for these matches.
Vallejo is 22 years of age. He's currently at 71 in the world. That's just one of his best ranking. Comes from Asunción in Paraguay. Both men playing their first ever five-setter. That first serve clips the top of the tape and bounces long. Kwame, currently ranked at 318.
And rising.
Yes.
And will rise.
He
and
will rise.
And rise.
But will he rise to the challenge here, Lady E? Let's see. Backhand cross court into the backhand corner of the Paraguay. And the drop shot from Kwame's not a good one. Oh, but he read the pass as it went back across court. He couldn't, though, shovel up, spit out, deal with the half volley he was presented with. It's another point to Vallejo. I think that's six in a row.
Yeah, and for the first time, Vallejo is ahead in the scoreline in this match tiebreak.
So good serve out wide, and the return cross court is wide. So, after a succession of points against the French fans and their favourite, it's back to seven apiece. And just to reiterate a point I made earlier, Vallejo is making both his Roland Garros and indeed Grand Slam main draw debuts this week after losing in qualifying in 2025 and also in 2026 at the Australian Open in the third round of qualifying. So huge opportunities for both men here as Kwame serves an absolute bullet down the middle. Clean ace.
Kwame.
222 kilometres, but it felt faster, didn't it? It felt emphatic. Felt like a statement.
Wow. I mean, 220 Ks. That's approaching 150 miles an hour. What a time to find one of your best serves ever, might I suggest. Takes him potentially within 2 points of victory, but it's back to Vallejo on serve at 7-8. 4 hours and 54 minutes on the clock. Vallejo serving to the forehand, returns down the middle of the court, off forehand from Vallejo. Now he's going to play his double-hander, shortish ball, similar shot from Kwame, who got good depth with his backhand. He's getting good depth again there, so he's in charge, plays a big forehand, defending work from Vallejo, which is good, and then Kwame tries to go across court with his double-hander, and he puts it wide. And he was on top in that point.
I think it was the wrong choice of shot. Probably why he missed it. Trying to pin Vallejo into that corner. They just overplayed his hand.
By the way, it's getting better and better for the Cirundolo family. The younger brother's seen off the world number one. And Francisco, who is now 5-1 up in the fourth against Hugo Gaston of France on Court Simon Macho, leading by 2-1. Here's Vallejo, 8 points all now on Court Suzanne Longlin. Eyes trained on the Paraguayan as he throws the ball up and serves out wide, looking for the ace to the forehand wing of the French right-hander, not quite finding the mark. The fans are fluttering all around Suzanne Longlin. It's a boiler again, as it has been for every day of these championships, and it's a thriller again, as it has been for most of the week too. The plus one's a good one from Vallejo, but then there's a really good forehand I'm not quite sure how he managed to manufacture so much power as he was facing away from the net. But Kwame turned, he spun, he whipped his forehand across court. It was good enough for the point, and now Eleanor is standing there. He's putting his hand up to his ear. He's enjoying the cheers. He's showing he's got the mentality, and he's reached match point.
Cold as ice. In the hottest possible atmosphere in every sense, but goodness me, Kwame looking like the calmest man in the place.
Oh, he's calmer than me. Match point on his serve to the backhand. Cross court, he's serving, volleying. Is he going to get there? No, he's not! He's flat on his back. The crowd's gone mad. There's a new superstar in town. He's 17 years and 2 months. His name's Moise Kwame, and he's just beaten Adolfo Daniel Vallejo of Paraguay in front of a frenzied Suzanne Longling crowd. He's won it 6-3, 7-5, 3-6, 2-6, 10-7. 10-8 in a match tiebreak. Let's get the facts right. Let's enjoy the celebrations. Eleanor Preston.
Well, an incredible moment of coolness from Kwame in that pulsating match tiebreak, and the maturity beyond his 17 years. Quite incredible. It's a febrile atmosphere. Yes, you get the support as a French player, but when you don't capitalise on your leads, you could feel the crowd getting a little bit nervous. As Vallejo just fought back in that tiebreaker, Kwame held his nerve, held firm, and he looks exhausted but utterly delighted. He's got his head in his hands. He's certainly been milking the applause, and now he's going back to just try and cool down a bit, take a few deep breaths. I think we could all deal with a few deep breaths after the last 20 minutes or so. We've seen the world number one, Jannik Sinner, go out of the tournament. And yes, you did hear me right. He went out in five sets, very much impaired by his physical condition. He was really struggling in the heat. But if you've just joined us, that is the story of the day. But from a French perspective, it might have been eclipsed by Kwame winning this match.
Well, it's a tough one for Vallejo, who's leaving the court to a round of applause. Kwame basically tried to get inside the freezer just now.
Well, you can't blame him, can you?
He was effectively reaching for a bottle of water that was at the back of it, but honestly, three quarters of his body was inside it, and now he's back on his chair, the biggest smile on his face. And we'll hear from him in just a moment, but listen to the noise. We do keep making mention of the fact that it's 43 years since a Frenchman won Roland Garros. Only one Frenchman's managed that since 1946. It was Yannick Noah. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that Moise Kwame is about to follow in his footsteps, but goodness me, he's taken a giant march forward in terms of profile and possibilities. He's now hugging some of his close-knit friends who are in the front row. Sheer, unbridled Parisian joy.
Oh. He's a popular young man, isn't he?
He most certainly is. We are going to hear from him. Julien Beneteau is going to talk to the toast of the town.
Moïse, quel match, près de 5 heures d'une bataille incroyable, avec un public en fusion. Comment tu peux décrire ce que tu as vécu aujourd'hui? Prends ton temps.
Just going to be a slight pause because he's asked one of the pool boys to bring him some water. He's drunk a bit of it and he's throwing the rest of it over his head. Tough to find the composure to say anything significant after you've been involved in a battle like that in front of a crowd like this.
Well, and we saw this, didn't we, with Mencic yesterday. When you win the match, sometimes that's when your body really breaks down because you can almost let go. And I think Kwame only now starting to feel the exhaustion as well as the excitement, of course.
Oubliez la question. Alors, je disais,
what's the question repeated?
Quel match? Près de 5 heures d'une bataille incroyable. C'est la première fois que tu joues en 5-7 ici à Roland-Garros, sur ce cours Suzanne Lenglen. Et décris-nous ce que tu as vécu avec ce public incroyable qui t'a poussé jusqu'au bout.
Les gars, j'ai juste un mot à dire. Merci. Elle vous revient cette victoire. Elle vous revient cette victoire.
Julien just pointing out his first 5-set, the first time on court Suzanne Lenglen. Plenty of challenges, and he's overcome
them all. Merci, parce que, franchement, très honnêtement, sans vous, j'aurais jamais gagné ce match.
Says it's all down to the crowd. They certainly played their part. But so did you, young man.
Je pense que vous vous rendez même pas compte à quel point vous m'avez porté, les gars. Je pense que physiquement vous êtes encore plus mort que moi. À force de crier, à force de donner toute votre vie pour moi pour ce match. Et les gars, merci parce que ça a fonctionné. Merci.
Further thanks to the crowd. He's saying you don't realize just how much you helped me out there with your cheers. He's a very mature young man.
Tu es évidemment passé par toutes les émotions dans ce match, mais à la fin, ce qui est le plus marquant, c'est le courage et la justesse, et j'ai envie de dire l'expérience malgré tes 17 ans dont tu as fait preuve pour aller chercher ce match. Est-ce que c'est pas que l'aide du public? Comment tu as fait pour aller justement chercher ce match?
Just asking him how he dealt with all the challenges, how he was able to maintain his maturity and concentration in 5 hours of heat.
Et ce qu'il a dit quand il était face à ces trois balles de match, j'ai jamais cessé d'y croire. Et aujourd'hui, quand je me suis retrouvé à 5-3 break dans le cinquième, j'ai jamais cessé d'y croire. Mais ça, c'est encore une fois grâce à vous. Vraiment. Jamais cessé d'y croire.
He's just saying there how much he learned from watching last year's final and the way that Alcaraz, of course, came back from two sets down against Sinner.
Dernière question. Te voici au troisième tour pour la première fois de ta jeune carrière. Comment tu vas justement mettre à profit les jours, le jour et demi de repos que tu vas avoir pour être prêt pour ce troisième tour?
So, how's he going to prepare for the next one? Thanks, Julien. I've only just finished this one after 5 hours.
And I'm using the microphone to hold me up.
Merci, les gars.
That is brilliant.
Talk about taking control of the situation. Kwame just thinking, I've had enough. I'm going to find a funny way out of this.
The sport has a new superstar, and his name's Moise Kwame. Congratulations, through by 10-8 in a fifth set tiebreak against Adolfo Daniel Vallejo of Paraguay after 4 hours and 56 minutes. He goes through to play Alejandro Tobillo, who had a rather more comfortable route through to round three because he got a walkover at the expense of Valentin Vachereau. So, you know, that just adds to the challenge. But he's a young man, he's 17. He's not going to worry about that just yet. What an experience.
Well, and a huge experience, but also to come through a 4-hour, 45-46 minute match in these conditions when you are 17, it usually takes several years for players' bodies to mature to the point where they can handle very long matches. And you don't normally win your first five-setter. You normally have to gain that experience, get the miles in the legs that comes from playing week in, week out at the very top of the ATP Tour. And yet this young man managed it seemingly with energy to spare. So that in itself is a fantastic achievement, let alone handling the excitement, handling the energy, handling the post-match interview. Fantastic job from Kwame. And I agree with you, this young man is a star.
Just love the way that he dealt with that last question. Perfectly fair question, but he didn't have an answer. And the way he didn't answer it was brilliant. Right, well, goodness me. I could do with a lie down as well, Lady
E. I think we all could, and I think it's fairly safe to bet that somewhere Yannick Sinner is having a lie down.
Yes.
And several other forms of treatment, I'm sure. I wonder, I mean, there's an amazing medical team here. The facilities on hand for players. I don't think we can stress this enough. I know we've talked a lot about the conditions and how tough it is and how lots of players are struggling, but they are getting incredible care behind the scenes.
And you'll know this because you've worked behind the scenes on many occasions at Wimbledon in particular. How do you set about asking Yannick Sinner when he wants to give an interview after a defeat like that?
Well, it will be done by actually Nicola Arzani, who works for the ATP Tour and is incredibly experienced, also Italian, so has known Yannick Sinner for many, many years. And Nicola, I think, will use his judgment about how Sinner is feeling, perhaps talk to his team, because players are exempt on medical grounds if they're really unable to attend the press conference. And in that situation, what they'll do is they'll get a quote from Sinner, which they can then release to the media so that those on deadline have something from him, just talking about what happened, what was going on in his body. So, I mean, ideally, he will be feeling well enough to come to media at some point. The rule is that normally you should come within the hour, but in these circumstances, I'm sure that will be relaxed. If needed for Yannick Sinner, but it really depends on his physical situation. Certainly he won't, that will be the priority. How well is he? How much is he able to do and when?
Well, if you are just joining our coverage, where have you been? We're live from 11 a.m. every morning until the close of play. I'm Marcus Buckland in the company of Lady Eleanor of Preston. Yannick Sinner has gone out. He was leading by two sets and he was 5-1 up in the third against Juan Manuel Cerúndolo when, his body just shut down effectively and he was unable to get back on his feet. So he has gone out at the moment on Philippe Chatrier, where it's a little calmer. Everyone's just collecting their thoughts and a lot of them have gone outside to have a drink and all the rest of it. But there is a Frenchwoman in action, Diane Parry, who battled back really well from a couple of days ago when she lost the opening set of her first round match by 6-0, but 1-3. And now she's up against Anne Lee of the United States, who is seeded at 30, and they're level at one game all in the first set. Parry's at love 30 on her serve, and we'll focus on that in just a moment. Elsewhere, on court, Simon Mathieu, Félix Auger-Aliassime, and Roman Andrés Burruchaga will start shortly. Auger-Aliassime, who had a rare old battle a couple of nights ago. Has anybody not had a rare old battle one way or another in the first three or four days? Well, he's going to play what could be another thrilling encounter. Court 14, Hubie Hurkacz is playing Francis Tiafoe of the United States, who's the 19th seed. Hurkacz won the first set in a tiebreak. Tiafoe won the second in a tiebreak. He won the third by 6-4, and he's a break up in the fourth as well. So it's starting to look, after 3 hours and 20 minutes, as if Tiafoe is going to come through that. Claire Liu and Maria Sakkari are involved in a very tight first set on court 7. It's on serve. They're sitting down in a moment. Liu of the United States will serve to stay in the first set at 5-6. On court 6, Anna Kalinskaya is playing Alina Korneva, and they are into a first set tiebreak. And Kalinskaya, who's the number 22 seed, is leading that by 4-1. There's lots of doubles. And of course, you can get all the latest scores, all the stories, the interviews, the draws, everything you need on the website, which Lady E is always promoting. Daria Kazakina is 4-1 down to Susan Bandici of Switzerland on court 12. And Camila Osorio of Colombia took the first set against Yulia Putintseva of Kazakhstan by 7-5. Putintseva serving to stay in the match at 5-6, 30-15. But the website's a great way, of course, to keep up to speed with everything that's happening. There's some quite well-written articles,
too. Very well-written articles, and also lots of articles that take you sort of behind the curtain, if you like, and talk about some of the things, innovations that have happened this year at Roland Garros, as well as obviously lots of information about all your favourite players. The app, of course, is also excellent. So if you're listening to us through the website, check out the app, because it's really good. And if you're listening to us through the app, check out the website. It's really good.
Everything's really good.
Just Jack says, is this Ruud's best chance for a slam?
Good question.
Well, as I said, I think everyone in the draw is going to, you know, they'll be concerned for Yannick Sinner's personal welfare, but they will perk up at the thought that he's no longer in the tournament. There's no question about that. Izzy Brizzy said, I loved the calling of the Vallejo-Kouame match. It gave me chill bumps.
Oh.
So Simon, actually, our own Simon Cambers, has written a post on X. He was commentating with Sophie for the early stages of that Yannick Sinner match, and he's just said, I was commentating for Radio Roland Garros for much of it. The only signs that things were not quite right early in the third was that Sinner was slicing more backhands than normal. Then when he gave away Cerundolo's service games at 5-3, he thought he could serve it out, but he couldn't.
Mm.
Well, he certainly couldn't. And things really went downhill for Sinner from then on, and really physically struggling out there. And it was sad to see. We wish him, obviously, all the best in his recovery. The good news about heat-related conditions is usually players recover relatively quickly. They can rehydrate and cool down, and he'll be feeling better. He'll be feeling heartbroken about his defeat today, but he'll be feeling better.
Of course, everyone's going to get very excited. All Novak Djokovic fans are now going to get very excited about the prospects of him winning that elusive 25th Grand Slam. But backhand Bobby has been back in touch and says, I think we need to wait to see how Djokovic gets on against Fonseca first, as the latter is supposed to be the next best thing. He came from two sets down yesterday, Fonseca, and of course he gets brilliant support from the very exuberant, excited Brazilian fans. And you know, if we get a big high profile match between Brazil and France here, well, I mean, any roof will blow off. It'll be absolutely incredible. And Bobby says, if Novak dispatches him, then he's definitely in the mix. He goes on to say, with regards to the other contenders, Zverev wants it too much. I think Sinner going out will actually be counterproductive for him, because he'll be expecting to win the title. Other players will know that too, and it will make him more mentally vulnerable in his matches. And Bobby rounds things off by saying, I said that Casper, the friendly forehand at the start of the fortnight, was my man, and I'm sticking with him.
It's a very good point about Fonseca. That is looming in the draw for Djokovic. But I think Djokovic is fighting his own battle with his body as well. You know, coming in here at 39 years old with very few matches under his belt, for Djokovic, it's about getting through the first week. And once he gets through the first week, we'll see. Then he'll start to really mount his campaign for the title, I think. But, Brian is asking, how many people do we think are now genuine contenders? How many people are in the mix to win the title now? I think, well, Casper Ruud, who we've talked about. Alexander Zverev, of course. He's come so close to winning a Grand Slam before. He plays very, very well on this surface. He's incredibly consistent on this surface and around the world. So, a second seed, he will fancy his chances. I mean, could we see someone break through? One of the younger players, a Fonseca, even a Kouame. You know, everybody is going to feel as though it's an open draw now.
Yeah. And, you know, listen, it could be very easy for us to all sound incredibly insensitive towards Yannick Sinner, who was brave, the way he battled through to the end. I mean, these are very, very tough conditions. We know he can be a little frail in those circumstances. He did what he could. But just from a purely neutral point of view, it does add so much more intrigue to the men's side of the draw. A couple of other interesting points that are being raised by a lot of people. First of all, Lady Eve, if over the years the heat continues to be like this, is there more of a chance that the authorities will decide to get rid of best of five set matches for the men, at least in the early stages, to try and preserve a little bit more freshness? And Emily in Harrisburg in Pennsylvania also says, hello, lovely duo. A question my family is considering, given Sinner's struggles today. Has there been any discussion about scheduling matches in the early morning and the evening to avoid the hottest hours of the day? I know ticket sales are probably the reason this hasn't happened yet, but it feels that something needs to change.
Well, I would point out that this weather is kind of anomalous for Roland Garros. You know,
but very,
It could become the norm. But I think they will consider anything that helps player welfare, because I think player welfare will always be the priority, and also the health and well-being of spectators. I don't think this is a situation that anyone here at Roland Garros or any of the other Grand Slams takes lightly, and it will be considered and thought about. But it's, you know, there's not a lot of flexibility built into the system of running Grand Slams. They've run the same way for an awfully long time, and there are lots of impacts of going, for example, from five sets to three sets. Not least, I think, you know, there are traditions to protect, and that will be a consideration, and certainly tradition is never going to trump player welfare. We have roofs here as well. You know, do you consider playing sometimes under the roof? But then that changes the dynamic of the tournament.
And would also be very unfair for all the players who are not on a court with a roof.
Yes, I mean, we do have a heat rule here. It actually hasn't been used very much this year, as much as we've talked about the conditions and how tough it is. But at the Australian Open, for example, it's not that uncommon for there to be no play on the outside courts until the heat drops. And it's not just the heat, it's not just the temperature as you see on your weather app, it's also the ambient temperature as well, which is taken into account, how warm the air actually is, humidity and all those different factors. But it's not uncommon at the Australian Open, for example, to see no play on the outside courts and only play under the roofs with the air conditioning. I mean, you generally have enough time, depending on where you are in the draw, to be able to do that and still catch up. So there are lots of options. I'm sure they'll be discussed. You know, I think no one is under any illusions about the fact that potentially this could be the future, unfortunately. And it's one of the reasons why all these tournaments, this one included, places such a high value on sustainability and making itself a sustainable tournament to try and offset that as best it can.
Well, it's going to be interesting as the world changes, as weather patterns change. Of course, the authorities have got to keep up to speed. The irony is that next week, looking at the forecast, it's going to be so much cooler. We're going to have a lot of rain as well. So we go from one extreme almost to another, don't we?
Yeah, but I mean, you and I know that quite often we've come here and it's been cold and wet. I mean, it was 10, 12, 13 degrees in qualifying week here. So this is a very unfortunate turn of events. And this weather pattern, unfortunately, has chosen to be stuck over Paris at this time. And it's not helping the players. I mean, it's adding some intrigue to the tournament, that's for sure. Mm. As we've said, it has a big impact in terms of how the courts play. And a lot of players have been saying that the ball flies around a lot more when it's hot like this. But it certainly hasn't helped Jannik Sinner. Vishal says, I used to believe that Sinner could beat even the best AI version of a tennis player. But I've realised now that he's human after all. Huge disappointment, considering he was 5-1 up in the third set. I mean, an enormous disappointment for Sinner. You know, arguably as disappointing as his loss in the final here last year, because at least that was a final.
Yeah.
And a final for the ages against, you know, his huge rival, who he then went on to best at Wimbledon.
And as brilliant as he's been at Masters level, and he's won the last six, and he was on a 29-match unbeaten streak, of course, it's now two of the slams that would have passed him by this year, having lost in the semi-finals in Australia, having gone out in the second round here. So we will see what comes next. Just in terms of the weather forecast over the next few days, it's peaked at around 32 today. Same tomorrow, but no sun. It's just a cloudy, hot day. Mixture of sun and cloud. This is according to my app, which is not always entirely accurate, but 31 on Saturday, and then it changes. And in fact, Lady E, maybe you were right. I think a few days ago I chastised you for suggesting the weather was going to get worse, or at least cooler from Sunday, but that's now what they're saying. You know too much.
I know as much as anyone else looking at a weather app.
Well, it's down to 22 degrees on Sunday with a 35% chance of rain. 24 degrees Monday. It's cloudy. 21 on Tuesday. 60% chance of rain. 19 degrees only on Wednesday. Almost half the warmth, 50% chance of rain, 19 on Thursday with 55% chance of rain, 19 on Friday with a 50% chance of rain, 20 on Saturday with a 55% chance of rain.
Yes, and I mean, the apps are all going to vary somewhat in temperatures, but it's certainly going to be a lot cooler, and that's going to have a bearing on conditions. These courts could play completely differently this time next week.
Mm.
They'll be much slower, the ball will be a little more dead, it won't be flying around so much. It's going to be, two tournaments in one.
But Austin has made a lot of very good points today, comes back and reiterates what we have roughly been saying. Probably no one wants to hear this, but climate change is going to make these conditions the norm for all Grand Slams moving forward. Tennis will need to adapt. The US Open will probably be even worse in terms of conditions than what the players are dealing with this week.
Well, as we said, the US Open, at that time of year in New York, end of August, beginning of September, it can be incredibly humid, which obviously is a different challenge in terms of dealing with the heat. The heat we've had here so far in Paris has been very dry heat, but there's just not a breath of wind, which can happen in Paris when there is a heat wave. It's very still, and that makes it very difficult to escape the heat anywhere. Rose says, Richard Gasquet will do with Moise Kouame what Juan Carlos Ferrero did with Carlos Alcaraz. In terms of coaching him.
Oh, I see.
An ex-player who goes on to coach someone with great success. Joshua says, I've turned off. Weather this, weather that. Get on with the tennis. Well, Joshua, I'm afraid you've turned off, so I can't yes. really respond to your message, but thanks awfully.
I mean, it is a story, Josh, so hopefully you'll come back to us. John from Wolverhampton. Wants to know if this is one of the greatest collapses in the history of tennis.
In terms of within a match?
Yeah, I think it probably is.
Well, any time a player loses from two sets up, it's a collapse. Sometimes it's mental, sometimes it's physical, sometimes the other player just ups their game. You know, you can have a player who makes a very slow start and then finds their feet.
I want to get Joshua back listening to us. Come on, you didn't really turn us off, Joshua Worrell, did you? We'll talk about some tennis now and prove me right. Just text back, say, I was only kidding. We don't want to lose you, Joshua.
Don't be so needy. Let Joshua go.
I'm a people pleaser. I don't want Joshua to go.
Hold on.
Don't want any of you to go, ever. You've got to listen to us from 11 o'clock every morning through until, the close of play. And you can get in touch on the X platform.
At radio_RG, or you can email us frenchopenradio@fft.fr.
Right, let's, in the vain hope that Joshua is still listening, get back to the tennis. Here on Court, Philippe Chatrier and Lee of the United States is playing Diane Parry. They've had a break apiece. It's back on serve at the moment. Lee is, though, facing a break point at 2-3, 30-40. So we've had great drama with the French man on Suzanne Lenglen. Not going to have quite the same atmosphere for the foreseeable future, at least here on Chatrier, but Diane Parry's doing her bit at the moment, Lady E.
Yeah, she is the second time in a row that she's been on court, Philippe Chatrier. And as you said, not a full court by any means. People just taking a break after that long Cirindolo-Sinner match to rehydrate and perhaps spend some time in the shade if they can. But you would think that as this match goes on, more and more people will come and join when they realise a French woman is playing.
Yeah, I mean, the schedule's interesting as well today as Lee comes in and hammers away an inside-in forehand winner. And that saves a break point opportunity. Just to update you on the match on court 14, where Francis Tiafoe looked to be in a very good position against Juby Herkacz in the fourth, said he was a break-up. Herkacz has broken back, so it's now 5-5. Herkacz is serving at deuce. He is trailing by 2-1. Julia Graber of Austria has just started against Amanda Anisimova on court Suzanne Lenglen. Maria Sakkari and Claire Lua level at 6 points all in a first set tiebreak. Anna Kalinskaya won the first set against Alina Korneva in a tiebreak by 7-2. It's 1-1 in the second. Lots of doubles matches. Do go to the website for all the latest scores. But in terms of the other singles encounters, Derek Azakina on serve at 4-5, but facing a set point, 4-5, 30-40 against Susan Bandici of Switzerland. And Julia Putintseva has hit back against Camila Osorio of Colombia on court 13. Osorio winning the first set 7-5. Putintseva has just won the second by 8-6 in a tiebreak. And the other match of interest is on court 9. Now that's Vic Capriva against Martin. And you very kindly gave me the phonetical pronunciation of this. Landelus, thank you very much, who was a very good junior. I saw his name an awful lot 2 or 3 years ago. Now the winner of that is going to play Cerúndolo. They're going to be the big beneficiary of the fact that Sinner has gone out. Well, Capriva was looking good. He won the first two sets for the loss of just 3 games. Landelus has won the third set, though, by 6-4. They are in the early stages of the fourth as the Empress arrives at the back of the commentary booth and then immediately goes and blocks off the fan.
Well, she only wants us for the air conditioning.
Yeah, she does.
I have to say that as I was walking in earlier today, I did stop by that court 14 match between Tiafoe and Hurkacz. It was absolutely packed out there. There's not a seat to be had. And then what happens with that court is it's on the far side of Suzanne Longlen from us. And people gather around the edges, almost in the corridors. So there was lots and lots of interest around that one.
Do you know something, Lady E? Joshua hasn't got back to us. I think he has gone.
I think you need to let Joshua go.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Do you think he'll come back?
Might not.
Gosh, you're quite sort of
blasé about the loss of Joshua. Well, because I know that we have many, many listeners who really like the balance of discussion that we have here on Radio Roland Garros. And I'm more worried about them. I'm more concerned about them.
And Rose Richards, for some reason, is questioning me when I mentioned that I can see into the future. Well, Rose, I knew you were going to write that email to us. It's just a fact. Sometimes.
Is it a fact? How are we defining fact there?
Yeah, it's actual nonsense. I'm sorry, Rose, but I can't even remember why I said it now. It's such a hot afternoon. You say things that you don't mean to say. I mean, to be honest, that's been the story of my career for the last 35 years.
Becky says, dear team, I think it got slightly lost in the big Sinner news, but qualifier Chalinska beat Mertens, who seeded. Well, thank you for flagging that, Becky.
And thank you, Austin, for saying that you'll be with us all day. We can rely on Austin.
Well, I appreciate you, Austin.
We're actually only going to be here for another 25 minutes or so. Are you then done for the day, Lady E? Oh no, you're back for the night match, aren't you?
I am back for the night session with the Empress.
Ah, well, she's very early for the night session.
She is nothing if not conscientious.
I mean, I guess she's going to start her 3.5 hours of prep.
Well, she might do. Or she's coming to keep an eye on you to make sure you behave, which is much more likely.
Do you know, I saw some of her prep yesterday, Lady E, because she was working in the booth next door, and it consisted of Sasha Zverev and Mahatch, the two names, and then she went, and that was it. But at least she knew who was playing.
She has staff.
Right. Dion Perry's in a spot of bother here at 3-all and 15-40. A rather sparse court, Philippe Chatrier, at the moment. Perry's got her back to us. She's facing the presidential tribune, and her first serve clips the top of the tape and goes long. We will move away quickly from here, though, because Jannik Sinner is poised to tell us his thoughts after losing in 5 sets to Juan Manuel Cerúndolo.
Usually in Grand Slams, you always have a couple of days where you don't feel perfect. This was today. This happened.
How would you compare this to previous instances where you've had trouble on the court, like in Shanghai or in Australia in January? Was this similar to that? There's tough conditions today. I know you said not crazy warm, but tough. So I'm just curious if
it was similar.
Yeah,
I think, look, Shanghai was very tough, with humidity very high. Australia was very, very warm. I do remember, and it's different when you play on a hard court because the heat comes also underneath. And here was, I mean, it was warm, but it was okay. You know, it was not like I was dying because of the heat. I think today was completely different scenario. You know, but again, you know, this can happen. It's tough to accept, of course, because of the position where I've been in and everything considered. But yeah, now I have a lot of time to recover. I won't play any tournaments on grass before, most likely. And now I need really some time off, recover completely, also mentally, and then be ready to go again from Wimby.
Hi, Yannick. Bad luck. Yeah, as you said, the position you've been in, obviously you've been performing so well. I know it's raw coming off the court, but how do you think you'll kind of process and reflect on this result, and particularly just the bad luck as well of this coming in a slam?
I always try to look the positive side. If you watch the whole clay swing, very well, you know, played really, really, really good, winning three tournaments in a row on clay. Coming here, I also, how I was playing tennis, I felt very well, you know, hitting the ball in a good way, moving well. And today was just not meant to be, you know. It's I think many things together, you know, caused this problem today. And but again, it can happen. I just need my time now, you know, to process what went wrong here, and positive also that we can put in good practice weeks before Wimby, also because after Wimby we have important tournaments coming up with, you know, Montreal, Toronto, I don't know which one is this year, and Montreal and Cincinnati and US Open. So let's see, there is still plenty to play this year.
Two more in English today.
Hello, Yannick. Did you consider retiring at some point, and what were your thoughts from 1-5 in the third to the end in terms of shall I retire or not? And if I don't retire, what can I do to try to win? What are your thoughts, Flo?
As I said, the fourth set I let go, you know, to recover also physically, and fifth set, we all know everything can happen, but yeah, it was tough. I was in a tough spot that in the fourth and also in the fifth at some point I didn't have energy, really. Was very, very flat, you know, the whole body. Don't remember last time I felt this weak, you know. But yeah, look, it is what it is. I mean, I tried to stay there and with all I had today, and this was the maximum I had. Of course, a pity, because I was playing really well the first couple of sets, and also the third set was playing really well. But yeah, that's the sport.
Yannick, do you have any regrets at all about playing so much in the build-up to this tournament? Do you think potentially if you hadn't played one of those events, you would have felt with more energy here?
You don't know. I mean, if I don't play Madrid or if I don't play Rome, maybe I come here and I still have a day like this, you know, where you feel sick. So, you know, looking back, it's always very tough in the same. I won three tournaments on clay. Incredible results, amazing streak I've had. So, of course, as I said in the beginning of the year, this is my main goal here, and very early exit. It was not what I was looking for, but you also don't know if things would have changed. You know, if I would maybe skip Madrid and play only Rome, or maybe skipping Rome and to come here. You never know. So, yeah.
Ciao Yannick, rapidamente ti chiedo se nei prossimi giorni farai degli accertamenti ulteriori o se è una cosa che comunque stai già gestendo, e poi mi sembra di aver capito che comunque fino a...
So that's as much as we're going to hear from Yannick in English, but we got the gist of his message. He's never felt that weak on a tennis court before. to Royal saying, yeah, maybe I should have missed one of the Masters events, but who knows, I might still have felt this ill. I mean, it's very hard for him to put out of Rome, for heaven's sake, in front of his adoring public. And also, Eleanor, the fact that he's on this amazing winning run, he's got a chance to win all nine in a row. I mean, that's an incredible achievement. So I don't think it's right to blame him for his scheduling, is it?
Well, I think it's hindsight is always 20/20, isn't it? I would say, if you asked Jannik Sinner at the start of the year, would you trade completing your set of nine Masters titles for Roland Garros? I think you would have picked Roland Garros. I think he's a player who is at the stage where he should be thinking about playing for history. And with due respect to the ATP Tour, history is made at the Grand Slams in tennis. And yes, it's a wonderful achievement and it's incredibly consistent, but, you know, would he on reflection have preferred to come in here a little bit fresher? But as he said, would it have changed here? We don't know. You know, like I said, it's very well in hindsight to look back and say he should have played less. But also, there's the confidence that you get from playing lots of matches and building up that aura around yourself. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, I think we need to give a big nod of respect to him for finishing the match and not retiring when many other players would have retired, but also for coming in and doing a media conference and not just saying, well, I don't feel that well, which would have been perfectly reasonable under the circumstances. So good to hear him speak. We did miss the beginning of that. We will bring that to you later. Stefan is on the case.
Yes.
He's listening to that and he will clip up a little recording of that so we can give you the full picture of what Jannik Sinner was saying after that absolutely shocking defeat to Cirundolo earlier today.
Yes, if you are just joining us on Radio Roland Garros, that's the voice of Lady Eleanor of Preston. I'm Marcus Buckland. Jannik Sinner was leading by 2-0 and by 5-1 against Juan Manuel Cirundolo of Argentina when he started to feel extremely unwell and he just couldn't get himself back on track. And Cirundolo has won in five here on Chatrier in the second match of the afternoon on the main court. A superb court that we have the pleasure of watching from our high Erie every single day. Anne Lee is at 3-4, serving a deuce against Diane Parry of France. Felix Auger, Aliassime and Roman Andres Burruchaga have just started on court Simon Mathieu. The match between Hubie Hurkacz and Francis Tiafoe on court 14 has gone into a fourth set tiebreak. Hurkacz, who won the first set but lost the next two, is a mini breakup early in that, so we could well have yet another five setter developing there. Claire Liu eventually won the first set against Maria Sakkari on court 7 by 9-7 in a tiebreak. Anna Kalinskaya won the first set on court 6 by 7-2 against Alina Korneva. Yulia Putintseva and Gimena Osorio are into a deciding set. They've just started that one. Daria Kazakina has just won the first set against Susan Bandici of Switzerland by 7-5. And Martin Landon-Luce playing Vit Kopriva for the right to play Cirundolo after his victory against Sinner. Well, that's in a fourth set. Kopriva leading by 2-1. And they're on serve at 1-2. Just starting to fill up a little inside Chatrier. And there are some cheers for Diane Parry because she's just been pegged back to deuce. Lee,
yeah, she had a break
3-4
point.
Deuce.
She had a break point, and I think the crowd are just feeling an opportunity for Diane Parry. Some big hitting out there with these two women. Anne Lee has had a fantastic year. She's got herself to 29 in the rankings, 30th seed here at Roland Garros. But she knows she's got a match on her hands here against the home player, and another break point beckons.
Yep, the other big headline today, aside from Sinner's exit, a magnificent, thrilling victory for Moise Kouami, just 17 years and 2 months of age. The Frenchman coming through in five sets in a quite remarkable atmosphere on court Suzanne Longlin. And he was brilliant in his post-match interview as well. He saw Rodolfo Daniel Vallejo of Paraguay. We have a new star in the making. So here is Lee serving at 3-4 and a second serve. Breakpoint opportunity for Parry. She's winding up for an off forehand return. Oh, and Lee completely mishits her plus one. And Parry has the break.
Parry sporting quite heavy strapping on her left thigh, but not showing any signs of impairment in her movement or shot making. What a perfect time to get the break of serve. Leaves her serving for this first set. And as Marcus was saying, it's starting to fill up on court Philippe Chatrier. People realising that they might get another French winner here. Mariana says, Lady Eleanor and Sir Marcus. Don't promote him, Mariana.
Oh, do. Please don't. Do.
Lady Eleanor and Marcus. I'm always at your side every day from 11 a.m. until the end of play from a sunny 28 degrees centigrade in Corfu. Thank you, Mariana. Always good to have you with us. And
I always say this about Mariana because she's been absolutely delightful for a number of years. Always writes in both for Radio Roland Garros and the Wimbledon Radio Channel. And she has put me right on this. She has dispelled the notion. But I always imagine Mariana on a sun lounger with a lovely cocktail and the sun umbrella just angled perfectly so she doesn't get too hot and bothered, listening to us and maybe just flicking her finger every now and then and, well, probably hopefully her husband or somebody comes out with another cold drink. That is what I imagine Mariana's life to be.
And is Mariana's life not like that?
No.
Because she lives in Corfu. She's probably not permanently on holiday.
No. But I want to think it is like that.
Well, it's a lovely idea, isn't it? I think you're describing the Empress's life.
Well, that's very much the case.
Mark says, if there's no bickering or banter, then I'm out. Sometimes there's just too much tennis. Thank you, Mark. That was in response to Joshua.
We never
boldly
bicker.
Boldly announcing that he was leaving us.
Do we bicker?
I don't know what you mean.
Do we banter? We try.
Look, sometimes we chat and sometimes we commentate on tennis. And we try and get the balance right between those two things. But it's a long day. A Grand Slam day is a very long day. And if all we did was bring you forehands and backhands, I think you'd probably get a bit bored.
But we do want Joshua back. If
I don't mind.
Joshua Worrell, come back.
You want Joshua back.
I do. I'm not going to rest.
I'm fine with letting Joshua go.
You know, you're very good at sending emails and tweets. Can't you tweet him back and say, come on, we're giving you a hard time, Josh?
No, that would be needy.
Oh, okay. Needy. Just getting some pictures of the outside court. It's packed. Roland Garros is absolutely packed and they're loving what's happening on court 14. Certainly from a neutral point of view, that's the Polish-American battle between Hubie Hurkacz and Francis Tiafoe, and it is going into a deciding set. A few moments ago, Hurkacz took the fourth in a tie break by 7-1. Here, Deanne Perry serving for the first set at 5-3, and she gets to 30-all with a good inside-in forehand winner.
Joe says, Dears, sadly with Sinner out, who is now your dark horse and who would you each pick to win the men's final? Mine is Cannoli, but I'm feeling Zverev will win his first Grand Slam. It's a beautiful and sunny 66 Fahrenheit here in Michigan, alongside the shores of Lake Michigan. Nothing like the heat you're all experiencing there in Paris. Please stay hydrated and keep up the wonderful commentary. It makes my working day so much better. Well, thank you, Joe.
Forehand winner again for Perry, and that brings up a set point. Growing in confidence as this set has developed. And just to answer that last question, of course, I don't need to change my pick.
Is that because you picked Novak Djokovic, Marcus?
Was it a 1,000 euro first prize?
No, it wasn't. Oh. Did you pick a 24-time Grand Slam champion?
Yeah, he's a very, very much a dark horse 24-time Grand Slam champion, but no one else picked him. Very close to an ace from Parry down the middle. She appears to have her left thigh very heavily strapped.
A bit like I mentioned that her left thigh was strapped earlier today.
Oh, sorry.
It's good that you're listening, though.
Well, I very rarely listen to anything you have to say. The return is long from Lee. And Parry has the first set by 6-3.
David says, enjoying the banter as I take my loss out on my lawn. He's lost in doubles and he's taking it out on his lawn.
Well, don't do that.
I'm using the real mower, as in R-E-E-L. No gas or electric. That's going to be hard on the arms, isn't it? A pushy-pull mower.
Yeah.
Just want to use a technical term there.
Pushy-pull.
Pushy-pull. Okay,
yeah.
Dave is in Farmington, Michigan.
You ever been there?
No, I haven't. I'm trying to think if I've been to Michigan at all.
I remember last year.
I think I might have driven through it.
Last year we went on a little run one night where we had about 20 emails and messages from 20 different places, and you'd been to all of them. And now we start with a no straight away. You've not been to Farmington, Michigan. Have you never been to Farmington, Michigan in all your 97 years?
I'm not even sure I've been to the state of Michigan, but I'd have to give it some thought.
You've been in the state.
Jonathan says, Lady E, it isn't that Sinner lost from two sets up. It's the two sets and 5-1 or 5-2. Whichever, it's a huge disappointment for everyone who wanted Sinner to have some compensation for last year's robbery. Well, Jonathan, I'm not sure it was a robbery. Can we call it a robbery? I'm not 100% sure about that,
no,
Jonathan.
No.
I think it was a great show of resilience from Carlos Alcaraz. And I think it's one of those matches that just got away from Jannik Sinner. You know, he got a little bit of a wobble in the moment when it was on his racket and wasn't quite able to convert. And that happens in tennis all the time.
Now, Lady E, you very kindly a short time ago looked up, checked the pronunciation of the man who's playing Vic Capriva for the right to meet Juan Manuel Cerúndolo in the next round. And you wrote it down for me in phonetic style, Lander Loose. And now Jody gets in touch and says, Marcus, it's a short O sound like the name Ronda, and it's pronounced Londoluthe. He is from Spain,
well,
not Lander Loose.
I went by the recording on the ATP website where he says his own name. Call me crazy.
Well, you mean you trust the man himself? Ah, hang on a sec. The Empress was having a private conversation with him in Miami. Oh, yeah. And? Lander Loose. Right. Okay, so Eleanor was wrong, but Jody's wrong as well. It's Lander Loose.
Everyone's wrong,
except the Empress.
Well, I mean, plus ça change.
Unless the player himself is wrong.
You asked me to check it. I went to the established resource for checking it, which is the ATP website, which we've talked about before, which has recordings where players say their own names, and that's what he said.
So why did he say something different to the Empress in Miami?
I'm not in charge of those things, Marcus.
Okay. Keep your messages coming. Keep your corrections coming. I mean, don't block up the internet with them, but...
Mariana says, I don't have a swimming pool because we have glorious beaches. Who needs a pool when you live on an island?
Oh.
Says Mariana in Corfu. It's a very good point.
Oh, okay.
I would settle for either right now.
She's on the beach on that little sun lounger with the umbrella and the cocktail with the little umbrella in it and the cherry and maybe a few nibbles. That's what I imagine anyway. Certainly on a day like today, that's what I would like to be doing.
I'd like to be here talking about tennis on Radio Roland Garros. This is my favourite place to be.
Oh, of course she says that with the Empress just taking more notes, more daily reports at the back of the commentary box.
Unlike you, Marcus, the Empress listens.
Right, what's Anne Lee going to do in the second set? If you are just joining us on Radio Roland Garros, it's been a good day for the French in terms of their 17-year-old sensation, Moïse Guami. How they'd like one of their more experienced campaigners, Diane Parry, to take another step towards glory. Remember, the last woman from France to win Roland Garros was Mary Pierce in 2000?
Yes.
I think.
Let me check that.
We know
just
that...
Just in case you've made it up.
We know that the last man... Oh, goodness me. We know that the last man was Yannick Noah, as Stefan points at the screen and... There's another retirement, Lady E. Julia Graber of Austria has retired after losing the first set by 6 games to love to the number 6 seed from the United States, Amanda Anisimova. Is she anybody's dark horse, Anisimova?
No, there was a slight injury cloud over Anisimova coming in here. She's had some problems with her wrists, and so there was a bit of uncertainty about how Anisimova would play here, but... Anisimova is a very, very good clay court player. Has been a semi-finalist here, and so, you know, I think if her wrist is okay, then she's certainly a contender for what is, as we've discussed, quite an open women's field.
Yeah. Well, if you could confirm the year that Mary Pierce won
2000.
It was 2000. Excellent. So 26 years since a French woman won.
30 ans.
And 43 years since a French man won. That was Yannick Noah. Dare I promote a podcast on air?
Again, I'm not in charge of those things, Marcus.
Well, the Empress is talking to Courtney at the moment. So there's a podcast called Sport is History, How It All Played Out. And it's all about Yannick Noah this week. It's very good.
Is it?
Yes.
Are you on it?
Yes.
I mean, itself is one of the surprises of the day.
The Empress has just sat on the remains of my breakfast. Or nearly sat on it. Well, her bag has sat on it.
In case you weren't aware, listeners, Marcus is now in trouble. It's so effortless the way you get yourself into trouble.
Well, they're mine. Are they? No, they're yours, sorry. Well, we're going to be summarily, that's yours, dismissed in 1 minute. I'm having a bit of a shocking end to this. I'm still upset about old Joseph Worrell leaving us.
It's all going so well. His name was Joshua, but apart from that...
Oh, wait.
Apart from that, flawless.
Wait, there's a Joshua.